It's good to be with you. I'm looking forward to our study. It's really neat to study about who we're going to talk about tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Aren't there some cool stories in the Old Testament? You think about it. When we teach our kids in Bible class, most of the stories we teach them growing up are Old Testament stories, right? Why? Because there are some cool things that happen in the Old Testament. Now, granted, when Jesus is on the scene in the New Testament, lots of miracles going on, and we teach them those things, but the Old Testament is just chock full of amazing stories of individuals who served God and things that God did over those hundreds of years with the nation of Israel. I mean, just think about that. What's your favorite story in the Old Testament? Maybe it's Noah. Maybe you like thinking about the flood and how the sky opened up and the ground opened up and how it rained and how water could cover the earth and how all those animals and that family could sit on that ark for days upon days and what that was like. The rainbow of promise. Maybe it's the 10 plagues. And when Moses was trying to deliver the people out of Egypt, those amazing things that happened to those people, to those Egyptians, and how Pharaoh, that huge drama that unfolds between Moses and Pharaoh and trying to let the people of Israel go. Maybe it's once they get free and you think about the parting of the Red Sea. I've seen some cool, back from the day of Charlton Heston through that animated movie and on up to this modern the Bible story that came on television, some cool special effects of the Red Sea parting. Could you imagine seeing a sea part but then walk upon dry land, not muddy land? And the stories go on and on, and I'm sure you may be thinking of others. So many stories. I forgot, what about the walls of Jericho? You probably have studied that so far from Joshua chapter 6, about 4 or 5, and really 6 is when the big stuff happens. That's a VBS favorite, isn't it? The kids love to see those walls come tumbling down. What an incredible story of belief and faithfulness and obedience in God. You could keep going on through Joshua chapter 7. You could talk about Achan and that really horrible event where they went to war and they lost because Achan had hidden some of that stuff in his tent. And a lot of those stories that we think about that happened to the children of Israel, the man that we're talking about tonight was a part of that. He was in a lot of those battles. He was a part of a lot of those stories. And that man, as you probably already know, is the man called Caleb. We probably first remember Caleb as being a spy, don't we? If you put your finger there in Joshua chapter 14 and you flip way back over to Numbers chapter 13, you read that story, Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. Caleb and Joshua and those 10 other guys are selected among the children of Israel. And what are they told to do? To go out and spy this promised land that God has promised they would receive. Well, you know the story. The spies go out and they come back. And those 10 other guys, they say, oh, there is absolutely no way we can conquer this land. These guys are like giants. And they go on to say a little bit farther down that we're like grasshoppers to them. These guys are powerful. They are mighty. There is no way we could take this land. And while all this grumbling and stuff is going on, you can look there in Numbers chapter 13. And it's about verse 30. Caleb, I love him. He stands up and he quiets the crowd. He says, guys, let's go right now. We can do this. That scene really sets the stage for this man we're talking about tonight. He saw the same things that those other guys did. The peer pressure is on. They're all there saying, we can't do this. Absolutely no way. And he's totally on the other end of the spectrum, jumping up, quieting everybody, and says, not only can we do this, let's go do it right now. Let's go take these people and let's conquer and take this land that God has promised us. Just to recap a little bit, you know, of course, they continue to murmur and complain. God gets fed up. He wants to destroy them. Moses prays to, he speaks to God on their behalf, says, please don't destroy them. But you remember what the result of all that drama is, right? They wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, let's fast forward. From the time that you first recognize Caleb, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, you see what kind of man he is. I totally believe. I am not afraid of these people. I believe in the promises of God. Fast forward 45 years, and that brings us to Joshua chapter 14. You know, as you've been studying this whole summer, Joshua is now the leader. Moses has passed on. He's dead and gone. And the Israelites have conquered a lot. They took that city of Jericho. They've had some losses. They've had mostly wins. And here they stand now, beginning to try to divide some of this land that they have conquered. Now, 45 years later, when it comes time for the tribe of Judah to get their land, Caleb stands up, and this is what he has to say to Joshua and the other people. Joshua chapter 14, and let's start reading in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. That whole story we just recapped. We were the only two guys that said we can do it because God said we can do it. We are the only two that got a promise from God that the land we were sitting on was a land that we could have. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That when I stood up and I said, guys, let's go now, we can do this. I believed that in my heart. It wasn't for show. It wasn't just to go against the crowd or try to elevate myself in a leadership position. I believed in my heart. Nevertheless, but, verse 8, my brothers that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. You remember that, don't you, Joshua? You were there. You were there with me. I don't need to remind you of this story. You know it. Verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your feet have trodden will be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, 85 years old. And yet I am still strong this day, just as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now. For war, both to go in, to go out, and to come in. I've waited 45 years for this promise, Joshua. Here I am, just as strong as I was that day, just as adamant as I was that day, and just as willing to follow God as I was that day. And then in the first part of verse 12, where we get the title of our lesson tonight, Joshua says, now, therefore, give me this mountain. What a rich story. What a guy. Amazing man. To go against the crowd, to go against the grain, to follow God, and to continue to follow God, even though he had to wait 45 more years to receive his promise. But when the time came, just as eager as he was way back when. Caleb teaches us some great things on how to be a person of God. Tonight I want us to remember three in our time remaining. These are the three things I want you to take home. Caleb, he never forgot the promise. Caleb remained patient and he had purpose. So there you go, three P's. Every preacher's got to start his lessons with the same letter, just like that. So thank you. Three P's. And so for you can remember, promise, patient, and purpose. I don't do that all the time, but I thought that might be easy tonight and to look impressive. Promise, patient, and purpose. Those are things that Caleb teaches us. So let's dive into the first one. Caleb never forgot the promise. As we've rehashed this from Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and we can remember this from Joshua chapter 14, look again at verses 6 through 9. Here's the promise. The children of Judah, it was their time to come before Joshua and get their land divided. Caleb stood up, he came to Joshua, and he said, "You remember the promise that God gave to me through Moses. You were there. He gave it to me. He gave it to you. The promise when I was 40 years old, verse 7, the servant of the Lord, going out and to spy that land and bring word back to him that what was in my heart was that we could go and take it. But the other people said, no, we can't. And the nation followed the pessimists. They didn't follow us. But because I believed in God, because I trusted God, because I followed God, verse 9, he made a promise. He swore to me that the land where my feet were on would be my inheritance, and the children of me, it would be their inheritance, because I fully followed God." Caleb was such a faithful man in Numbers 13. He said, "Let's take this land. Let's do it." And as a result, Caleb was promised that land that he stood on. You know, Caleb never forgot that promise, as we've already said. He lived his whole life following God and looking forward to what God had promised him. I don't want to get too far ahead because, you know, the first point is the promise and the second point is patience. But just try to imagine if you were Caleb living his life. God promised me a land, but I had to wait 45 years to get it. But in all that time, Caleb remained just as faithful to God as he ever was. What about us today? You know, when someone promises us something, when do we want it? We want it now. And when a day goes by, I promised I'd do that for you. A day goes by, nothing. A week goes by, nothing. By that time, we've totally given up on them. They're never going to come through with this promise. It must have been a lie. It must have been a trick. Or maybe they forgot. Maybe they forgot about me. See, Caleb never thought that. He knew that one day this land would be his. He had a promise of a mountain. And he looked forward to that promise every day of his life. God has made a promise to us. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. And let's read together verses 3 through 7. "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle, the promise, the covenant of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor will there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And He who sat upon the throne, that being God, said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, that being John, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said to me, "It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to you who thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He who overcomes will inherit all things. I will be his God. He will be my son." God, like Caleb, has also given us a promise. Our land is going to be heaven. It will be so much greater than the land that Caleb was promised, the land that he received in his life. Don't ever forget the promise God has made to his followers. Amen. He didn't let Caleb down, and he won't let you down either, even though it might take a little while. Let's continue with Joshua chapter 14, and let's look at verses 10 and 11 again. "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He made me the promise, and He's kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as strong as I ever was." Verse 11, "In the days that Moses sent me, my strength, the way it is right now, that's the way it was back then. The way it was back then, that's the way it is now. I'm just as strong, just as eager to go out to war as I am to go in or come out. I'm still just as strong." Now, as a side note, it's really interesting to think about what 85-year-old Caleb was like, right? How many 85-year-olds do we have in here? Okay. None. Let's see, how many 80-year-olds? Okay, one. Ma'am, do you feel just as good now as you did when you were 40? Yes, ma'am. But you don't have to answer that kind of answer for me. There's one guy at Lebanon Road that I think has got to be just as stout now as he was when he was 40. He's 81 years old, and his name is Jack Steele. I'm not kidding. His name pretty much says it all. When there's a zombie holocaust, young people, or you know, some kind of apocalypse or whatever, I'm going to Jack Steele's house. You're welcome to come. If you want to survive, you need to come to Jack Steele's house. I sometimes go to his house and help him work his garden, or I'll help him clean a turkey that he's gotten from hunting, or a deer, or he goes on these big, like, four-day catfishing excursions and comes back with hundreds of pounds of catfish, and I go to that very sweet-smelling aroma and help him clean those fish. But he just runs circles around me. 81 years old, and he makes me look like a lazy bum. How does he do that? When I think of Caleb, I think of Jack Steele. I ought to make a movie after that guy. I'm not kidding. It would be good. Reality television show. Called it. To be just as powerful at 85 years old, just as strong and just as motivated as you were at 40, is a really interesting thing to think about. But what I want you to focus on is, could you imagine what the wait was like for Caleb? God promised me this land, but now I've had to wait. When am I ever going to get this promise fulfilled? You know, I've been a good follower this year. Maybe this will be the year that I get the mountain that God has promised me. No, not this year. Well, maybe this will be the decade. where I get the mountain God has promised me. No, not this decade. Maybe this will be the half century. Okay, we got it. We got it there, didn't we? 45 years to wait for this promise. Add to that, it was never his fault in the first place, was it? Why did he have to wait so long? These stinking, grumbling, mumbling Israelites, they're the ones that messed up his promise. I could have had that land that day. Let's go, guys. Let's get up. We can take it now. Right? I could have got it that weekend. That land could have been mine. But now I've had to wait because of these people's unbelief and lack of faith. What an impressive man to wait that long and still be just as good, just as eager, and just as great a follower. And that's a lesson of patience for us, isn't it? What did I say earlier? When we want something, we want it now. I mean, come on, ladies. You ladies who have husbands, you never known your husband to decide that he needed something, right? And then work by, you know, the next day or that weekend, he's got it. Whenever I really wanted my Harley, I have a Harley. I think some of you might know that. It started out, you know, I think I'd like to have a motorcycle. Yeah, I think someday I would like to have a motorcycle. You know, it's just so cool, that freedom, and I really need something to help me unwind. Get out there on the open road and enjoy that time of quiet reflection with my God. That being God in heaven, not God the Harley. I need a Harley. It's good for my spiritual and physical and emotional well-being. We just can't really afford a Harley, honey. Well, maybe if I, honey, where have you been? Oh, well, I just went to work today and, I stopped by the bank. And what did you stop by the bank for? Well, I just talked to somebody. You know, I just want to explore the options, you know. I mean, 2 or 3 days later, I got a Harley and sitting in the driveway. Ladies, your husband ever like that? No? No? Fellas, you ever get that itch? Is it a flat screen plasma TV? Is it the digital 6.1? Oh, they even have like 7.1 surround sound with the stadium seating and your home theater. Is it that muscle car or that nice luxury car? Is it those set of golf clubs? Is it, I don't know, what's your thing? You ever get that itch and you need it? And when do you need it? You need it now. Caleb had an itch. It was this land that God had promised him. And he waited 45 years to have that itch fulfilled. Caleb was patient. You know, the Christian life is so full of joy. It's full of great peace. But it can also be difficult at times, can it? You know, we might say, where are all the good things that Jesus promised me? I have heard this word and I believe in the Bible and I believe He's the Son of God. I've repented of my sins. I've confessed Him before men. I've been baptized into His blood and had His blood wash my sins away. Now everything in life ought to just be rainbows and sunshine. Even double rainbows, young folks. Double rainbows. Where are all the good things? How come everything just doesn't work out perfectly in my life? I should not be free of all troubles and struggles. God has promised me an abundant life with great joy and full of peace. He's promised me eternal salvation. Where is it? Why don't I have it? Why don't I have it now? When you look at men in the Bible, and women too, you see they struggled, didn't they? A lot of them struggled. The prophets of old, they had a tough life. Pretty much every single one of them. Just a tough, tough row to hoe. The apostles, they struggled too, didn't they? You know, not even the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could come to this earth and live a struggle-free life.
Amen.
Right? This life is full of challenges. It's full of struggles. But I think that's on purpose, friends, brothers and sisters. I think it helps us to appreciate heaven. You remember how much Paul struggled? You know, you read the book of Corinthians and he goes through that list. He talks about how many times he was beaten, how many times he was whipped and shipwrecked and spending a night and a day in the sea and struggling with robbers and struggles with his own countrymen and all of that list that he goes on and tells you how his life has been, the stresses and the tribulations, the trials that he's had to endure. But Paul really appreciated the promise, didn't he? You read 2 Timothy, you could turn there and you could read that, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. You know, the last book that Paul wrote before he was executed. And when he's closing out that letter, talking to Timothy, he sort of sums up his life. And in a way, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And because I did these things, I have a promise. I was patient. I struggled and I continued to press on. I didn't give up, even though I didn't get instant gratification. I continued. And now it's time for me to have my promise. Paul essentially said, now it's time for me to have my mountain. And I'm ready. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Jesus told the church there, he said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's our promise. Be faithful, be patient unto death, and I will give you a reward, a promise, a crown, heaven. We can be patient. And if we are patient, God will make us strong. You love those words in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. When Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I love that song too. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Right? We can be patient. We can look for that promise. And we can strive for that promise. And God will make us strong, just like He made Caleb strong. All those years, he remained patient. He remained strong. When it's time to receive our promise, then we'll be ready. Caleb was ready. He waited 45 years. He stayed strong when the time was right. He said, give me the mountain. Caleb had purpose. He had purpose when he said, give me the mountain. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain where the Lord spoke of in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. 85 years old standing there saying, give me the mountain. I don't care who's there. I don't care who's on it. You know, the Anakims, if you go back and read in Numbers, you see those were the giants. The giants. I mean, nobody wants to fight a giant. And when we're talking about giants, we're talking about like Goliath. Giants. You know, Goliath's family was a family of giants. 9 feet tall guys. Nearly 10 feet tall guys. Caleb said, I don't care. If the Lord's with me, I'll take it from him. I will have what God has promised me. What drives people to accomplish great things? What keeps people on a mission or on a course? I've always respected those, you guys, you hear stories about people who live the dream. They worked and they struggled early in their life and they were poor, but they continued to strive after their dream. And then it's like rags to riches stories, right? All kinds of entrepreneurs in the United States, you've heard that story. They started out with nothing and they worked hard and they really built themselves up to something. Sam Walton is probably a good story like that. I believe even, this is just off the top of my head, but didn't Steve Jobs, didn't he really struggle to become rich and the whole Apple company and all of that stuff? Maybe even, who's the other guy, Bill Gates? Yeah, I think he did the same thing. Those types of guys who stuck with their dream. They had their eyes on a prize. What kept them going? What prevented them from giving up? And how can we make our life like that to prevent us from giving up when things are really a struggle? I believe it's purpose. Purpose. You look at Caleb's life, what kept him going those 45 years? It was purpose. He had a purpose. I've got a prize. I've got the mountain. And he just kept his eyes on the mountain. He said, this is my purpose, to follow God, to have His promise, to have His reward. Well, the same is for us today. God promised me the mountain, Caleb essentially said. And when He gives it to me, I'm going to take it. Now, Caleb, he received his promise from God through Moses. Right? Back to Numbers chapter 13. We receive our promise from God through Jesus. Amen. Caleb's mountain, his mountain, gave him a purpose-driven life. 45 years. That's what kept his focus. That's what kept him going. That's what allowed him to say that I will faithfully follow God. If we look to our mountain, heaven, it will help us, I believe, also live a life of purpose, just like Caleb did. Caleb's purpose in his life was to follow God and receive the promise. If we purpose in our hearts to accept the salvation, that promise that Jesus has given to us, if we will follow Him and do those things that He has taught us to do, we have the promise. There is the promise. Caleb followed God in Numbers 13. He received a promise. We follow God today. We receive a promise. And it's a mountain, just like Caleb. If we look to our mountain and follow God in this life, when it's done, it will help to keep us strong. And it will surely ensure that we receive our mountain. So there are those three things. Caleb, he had a promise. Promise given from God. We have a promise given from God through Jesus Christ. Caleb had patience to receive his promise. And he received strength from the Lord through that patience. If we'll have patience living this life, following God, God will strengthen us and we will surely have our reward. Caleb had purpose. That's how he was able to maintain his patience and keep his eyes on that promise. If we will have purpose in our life, live life on purpose, follow God on purpose, we'll have the same result as Caleb. Promise, patience, and I already forgot the last one. What was it, guys? Just testing you. No. Be patient and strong, and you'll be rewarded. Never lose sight of your purpose. to receive the mountain. I close with the last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Probably what you know. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Your opportunity to have all that God has promised you is now.
Amen.
And I know the invitation will be extended in just a few moments. I want you to remember that. You have a promise laid before you, just like Caleb did. If you'll just take that promise, you will be rewarded. When your life is done, you'll be able to say, God, give me the mountain.